Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we talk about my quest to find the perfect ergonomic mechanical keyboard. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain.
Dennis, in the main podcast this month, we talked all about keyboards, and particularly about the rise of the smaller keyboards, the 65 and 70 and 80 percenters that are out there. Now, I couldn't help but notice that I mentioned some of my favorite keyboards. I'm currently using the Rokat Ryos MK, for example, and strongly considering moving to an Asus ROG NX keyboard. Both we'll link to below.
The 10 keyless. It's awesome.
But I noticed that you didn't mention what your favorite gaming keyboard was. So I thought maybe in this extra, we should explore that a little bit.
Okay. Well, my favorite keyboard and my favorite gaming keyboard are pretty much the exact same thing. And it's a little different. And I'm a little embarrassed to mention this.
Okay.
The Microsoft Natural Elite.
Oh, now hold on. Because that's not even a mechanical keyboard or even really a gaming keyboard.
It's also not a new keyboard. This is one that was made back in like the 90s.
Isn't this the one that people are still trying to hunt down out on like Craigslist and eBay and stuff?
Yeah, these things go for a very, very pretty penny because Microsoft doesn't make them anymore. And the way that they used to make them, because you can still get a natural keyboard from Microsoft.
Oh, you can get
like the 4000, and then there's a new one, which is just called the Microsoft keyboard or Microsoft ergonomic keyboard. And they're kind of in the same flavor of, but they've changed enough about the way that the keys are laid out that it makes it difficult for somebody like me who's used the Natural Elite for many, many years. It makes it a very difficult transition to go from one keyboard to the other. And that is, people love these things, including me. And so, yeah, I mean, you can get on eBay and you can find this keyboard, and some of them will be listed for like $300 new in box.
That's insanity. Now, let me just, you know, come clean for those folks that weren't already aware or haven't listened to the other one. I'm not really a touch typist. I know.
Yeah.
Sue me, but there's a long story there. But in short, so I don't use an Elite keyboard, but okay.
Because, or a natural or ergonomic.
Yeah. And in fact, I find them very frustrating when someone else has one and I need to type because I've gotten pretty used to how to type. You know, all of us that aren't really great touch typists, we all have a system that gets us by.
Of course.
Yeah, to each his own. So typing on one of these is insane, but I do have friends that use them. In fact, my mom is an enthusiast of the other camp, the Logitech camp.
Oh, yeah. And Logitech is, well, now the only other, I should say, mainstream maker of an ergonomic keyboard. The Logitech design is very similar to the Microsoft design, but it's just enough different to get past the Microsoft patent. And that is the biggest barrier for why we don't have any more ergonomic keyboards out there.
Well, this is sort of a civil war situation because I know folks that swear by the Logitech design and folks that swear by the Microsoft design. And it seems like both camps still say, oh yeah, the older one was better.
And I would agree. The older one was better. There was, when the Microsoft Natural Elite first got released, this was a long time ago, dating myself here, there were two other companies that I can think of that released a natural version or an ergonomic version that was almost a direct copy of the Microsoft design.
Okay.
They lasted for maybe 4 or 5 years, and they were really cool. I can't remember the name of them right now, but they were a split design, much like the Microsoft Natural. But the one that I had a touchpad in the lower corner. So it had a mouse input where you could touch that and move it around just like a keyboard, just like on a laptop. And everything else was laid out basically the same. Microsoft released another version that had a whole bunch of multimedia buttons across the top, but the keys were in the same position. And this is a key portion of it. Saying key a lot. This is a key detail in...
It's a key detail. See what you did there.
Yeah. Of the progression of the Natural keyboard. Well, when Microsoft phased out the Natural Elite, they came out with the Natural Ergonomic 4000. And this was the one, the modern one that had the USB interface. They still had the multimedia keys across the top. And they had this little slide thing in the middle. and a couple of other little right and left mouse buttons in the below the space bar.
Right. Now, this is the one I'm used to seeing because it has a more modern look. Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
And function keys across the top that are distinct to that. I think the multimedia keys and shortcuts to Microsoft programs, right?
Exactly. I bought one of these when it first came out thinking, hey, I'm just going to upgrade because, you know, Microsoft has always been the same. Well, when they redesigned this particular keyboard, what happened was that instead of having the keys straight and be straight on a plane, because they're already split and then tilted so that your hands are in a more natural position.
I wish the users at home could see the hand gestures.
Yeah, the hand, I talk with my hands a lot, actually. So maybe we'll have to do this on video or something. But the Natural Elite had a split design and it tilted, so your hands were kind of at a natural position. Well, when they released the 4000, the tilt wasn't as much. The split was the same angle, but the tilt wasn't as much. And what happened was that they made the keys convex. So your middle fingers would have to press more to activate a key.
Interesting.
That minute little change gave me carpal tunnel, in a sense. It actually made my wrists hurt from using. So I was like,
that's no good.
I'm going to have to go back to the original design. Well, several years later, like on the order of 10 or so, Microsoft released an upgrade of this, which is called the Microsoft Ergonomic Keyboard for Business, I guess.
Ooh.
It's just not a natural keyboard anymore, but it has the same split and the keys have a slightly different layout, but it didn't hurt my wrist to type on. But I found that when I switched keyboards, the difference in the way that the keys were formed lowered my typing accuracy from 90% down to 50.
That's a big change.
And that's all because of the way that the keys change. So when you look at the Natural Elite, the keys themselves have a very traditional feel, much like the Cherry switches, where you have a spot where your finger fits. It fits naturally in that key. The ergonomic is more flat, much like on a laptop. It's really difficult to know where the center of that key is. And I find myself going and hitting shift and caps lock a lot when I'm trying to go and hit A, for instance.
Well, I think the most interesting thing about this discussion isn't the change in keyboards. It's that with all of the access and resources that we have and all the keyboards that we look at, that there hasn't been a really good gaming keyboard, not at least one that's widely adapted.
That's in the ergonomic form factor?
Yeah. In fact, I frequently have people tell me, man, if you could come up with a really good mechanical ergo keyboard, I would definitely buy it because they just don't exist.
I can reiterate that in that I have looked high and low for a very good ergonomic keyboard with mechanical switches. I've even followed a guy on a forum who took a Microsoft Natural and tried to retrofit mechanical switches in there. And he was using the plastic pieces in the keyboard and was trying to reuse the actual keys, which he couldn't. He ended up having to put Cherry switches on there and then use bodge wire to go and lace up all the switches so that he could hook it into the USB connector. Well, in the end, what he had was it kind of looked like a natural keyboard and it had the same split, but the keys were all wonky because they did not follow the path the way that Microsoft had set it up. In a sense, it was a successful failure.
Well, at least he gave it a go, but that's a heck of a project.
That's a huge project. And some of the other Ergo ones that are out there, and I was going to bring these up really quick, we have the Expose Light Ergonomic Keyboard.
Okay, now Expose, at least a company that I recognize the name of because they've made gaming products for a while. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't aware this existed. So talk us through it, and of course, we'll provide a link.
Yeah. So this particular keyboard is basically the standard it's the standard straight keyboard, the standard form factor that you are very familiar with. And what they did is they split it by not splitting the keyboard or actually adding angle to it, but by moving the where the keys are.
Interesting. Yeah, the view of this thing is worth a look if you're just listening, because it looks like somebody just kind of grabbed all the keys in the middle and pulled them down while they were warm.
Yeah.
So they're drooping.
In a sense, yeah. I mean, it's like we put it up on end and it got too hot in the middle and then it just kind of... Yeah. That's a good sound effect. The thing I do not like about this particular keyboard is that it's straight. It's a flat keyboard. And this is something that's very common to mechanical keyboards just because of the way that they're made, because the keys have to fit on a PCB and you can't make a PCB curved, so to speak. So what they did is they kind of pulled the keys down so it gives you that natural split, but the keyboard itself is very square. And if you need to hit any of the function keys up here at the top, you have to physically move your hand to hit them. Whereas on the Microsoft Natural, you can, if you reach really hard, you can hit them because they follow the same path.
And that goes back to that muscle memory thing we talked about in the other episode. Mm-hmm. If they're not in the right place, then that's going to slow you down.
Yeah. One of the other ones that's very, very popular is from ErgoDocs. And this is two guys that go and make a mechanical keyboard, but instead of making it one keyboard, they make two. So you have a left keyboard and a right keyboard with the traditional, what they call the split design, which is physically split. This one is just weird. I'm not sure if I could actually use it.
Well, to me, this is the one that makes the most sense because you can position it wherever you need it, which seems like that would be good for your ergonomic typing positions.
Mm-hmm. And from that standpoint, yes. The one thing that's a little weird is that it's symmetric. So you have keys in the same location and they follow this little bump, which if you look, if you put your hand down on a table.
Yeah, all right. Doing it.
If you are a normal human, your index finger will be a little shorter than your middle finger. Mm-hmm. Your middle finger will be a little longer than your ring finger. Mm-hmm. And your ring finger will be a lot longer than your pinky finger.
Sure, that's pretty normal.
Well, that pathing along the keys, if you look here, follows that same pattern as your fingers. So they positioned them so that they meet your fingers naturally if you're just using a straight finger press. But how many people type on a keyboard that way? You always have your finger curved. When you curve your fingers, they're almost straight across.
Yeah.
So this particular design might be great for certain types of typers, but if you are one of those that has learned how to type on a straight keyboard, you'll have a very difficult time getting accustomed to this particular setup.
Interesting. Well,
And the one thing that I really don't like about it is the fact that I can't tie them together. So for instance, I have my keyboard on my desk. I want that keyboard in that same spot. Well, now I have two pieces that I need to align. So when I sit down to type, I have to go and reposition my key pieces and then start typing.
Okay.
It just seems strange.
I know I've seen other designs that are single piece though.
Yeah. And one of the classic ones, classic from a long, long time ago, is made by Kinesis.
Kinesis.
Yeah, that's the word. Sorry. Kinesis Advantage. And they're very diverse in terms of the versions that are available the types that are available.
Now, this is what I most often think about when I think about cutting edge or maybe futuristic ergo keyboard designs. Now, I could never use this, of course.
No, and I couldn't either. The gist of this particular keyboard is if you have a board, think of it as a board. The board has a nice curve in the middle of it, so it's kind of bowed. On the two edges of this board, you've taken a soccer ball and cut out a hole in this board so the soccer ball would fit inside there.
Okay, yeah, so it's concave.
It's very concave, very round, very natural, kind of. Within the surface of that hole that you've carved out, that's about the size of a soccer ball, you have keys that go perpendicular to the bottom part of that curve. And that falls all the way around. So every key is basically perpendicular to a bowl. So when you're typing, the idea is that you don't have to ever stretch your fingers. All you have to do is move them back and forth. It's always going to be in the same path and same position. So that way you never have to really move your wrist. All you're moving is your fingers. And honestly, I've tried to use one of these keyboards once and I found myself not knowing where any of the keys were.
Yeah, I think you'd have to retrain yourself. And it looks gigantic too, which is maybe a negative.
Yeah, it's super, super huge. The one thing I liked about the Microsoft Natural keyboard was the fact that the space bar was one bar. Just like on a standard straight keyboard, you have one large space bar that you hit it with either one of your thumbs or other finger or whatever way you like to type. With the split designs and a lot of the mechanical natural keyboards, they have two keys for the spacebar, which adds a little bit of complexity in the way that they're wired up. And, you know, if you always use your left thumb to hit the spacebar, then obviously you're always going to be using the left button.
Okay, that makes sense.
Seems weird. One of the other popular split keyboards is...
I like the looks of that one.
It's the Cloud 9. And this is a split design where it's physically split in half. It follows a similar pattern to what the Microsoft Natural Elite does, where it's taking the standard QWERTY layout and then just split it in the middle. And this allows you to position each one of these keyboards in a different location. It's a mechanical keyboard, and I think you can kind of position wherever you want, but it has the same problem as the ErgoDox, where it's two physical pieces. Of course, you can put them together if you want, but I don't think it actually solves the problem. It just kind of says, hey, you want a split keyboard? Well, here you go.
Yeah, we'll just split it. Interesting. Okay. That one at least looks like something maybe I could use.
There's one that you sent over, which was from the Ultimate Hacking Keyboard Project.
Yeah, when you first started talking to me about trying to find an Ergo, this was the one that kept coming up in all the conversations as maybe the hot one on the block. And I don't know if this is just current trend or what, but what I liked about this one was it had some modular functionality. So what did you think of it?
This one is interesting in that it is a split design, at least the way that they have it displayed. It's two physical pieces, but it's designed to be put together. It's actually a straight keyboard that you separate, and then you can add some modules to the lower section. And they have multiple modules you can pick from. Some of them are a trackball, some of them is a touchpad, and then you have some that are a little key cluster. And that allows you to expand and modify this keyboard with extra keys. For instance, I always use my right thumb to hit the spacebar, so I could put this modular key cluster on the right-hand side that has my spacebar on it. That way I'm only hitting that button to hit space, for instance.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that this is really the only one that we've looked at so far that looks like a current generation keyboard. You got RGB options, you got the modularity, you've got an interesting little screen that, I don't know what it does, it's an LED screen. But this would be at home on a modern gaming build, and I don't know, maybe even compatible with your lighting system for syncing.
Yeah. This particular design does not have arrow keys. It does not have a 10 keypad. It also does not have the insert, delete, end, page up, page down button clusters.
And you make a good point, because if you take the modular pieces away from it, really, this is a 65% keyboard, or maybe a 70. I'd have to take a closer look, but somewhere in that range. So you don't have your function keys either.
Yeah, it's just kind of a basic keyboard that, again, hey, you want a split keyboard? Well, here's a split keyboard. The last keyboard I wanted to mention that came up in terms of a mechanical keyboard that was an ergonomic design was from Truly Ergonomic. And this is one of those projects that kind of came up. I want to say it was kind of on a Kickstarter or something.
Oh, interesting.
But this keyboard is pretty much a conglomeration of a lot of the previous designs that we just talked about. It is a flat design, so it's a flat panel, but it's much deeper than most normal keyboards that you're familiar with. So it has an integrated wrist rest, and it has the function keys that are straight across the top, which is something that was on the Expos. And they position the keys in the natural order progression. So the ones in the middle for your middle finger are a bit higher than the ones across for your index finger. And the ones that would use your index finger for both keys are at about the same height. And it has a split design in terms of not necessarily looking like it melted and fell down in the middle, but they just positioned them differently on this panel. What is missing is the fact that on like the natural keyboard that I am looking for, it's not tilted in the middle so that my wrists are straight, much like on a straight keyboard. It's just now I'm in a more natural ergonomic position, supposedly.
So close, at least. Very close.
Very close. This particular keyboard was also like $300.
Ooh, ouch.
And you could buy it assembled. Does not have RGB, which, you know, who really cares? But the one thing that really annoyed me about this particular keyboard is that they spent a lot of time positioning the QWERTY keys, but then they had issues about where to place everything else.
It does look like there's a bunch of kind of random keys below your standard keys there.
Yeah, so we have some function keys that are in this blank space between the QWERTY and the function keys at the very top. We have space bars, which are individual keys underneath the QWERTY system. We have backspace, which is not in the upper right, but in the lower left, next to where this
getting used to.
Space bar is. We have an up arrow, which I think is an enter key. It's an enter key, which is on the left hand next to the space bar, but they also have the traditional enter on the right. And they have a arrow pad.
On both sides?
On both sides.
Yeah, one of them looks like it maybe is programmable, but it's hard to tell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. But the layout of it is just kind of, hey, this is the best layout ever. And they don't want to take any other input from anyone else.
Well, that one I can see as being relatively large in a different way because it's narrow across at the top. It's almost a 70, maybe 65 in width. But the top to the bottom is longer than the left to right. So you'd need kind of a special amount of space for that one.
Yeah, it's just strange in its weirdness. Now, the last keyboard, which, you know, I think the last one I said was the last, but this really will be the last one. And this is one I found when I was surfing Reddit one day. Yeah, I know Reddit is for kids, but I was checking out the custom keyboard section. This link came up to studio.bahm or B-A-H-M. And supposedly this is like the premier ultimate keyboard kit that you can buy. And for the Aster Ergo TKL, 10 keyless, ergonomic edition, he has a suggested price of $590.
Wow. Now, I couldn't help but notice, even down on the core page, that this is a group buy. So it gets ordered only when they have so many orders. So It must be small batch.
Yeah. Well, and it's coming out of, I think, Thailand or one of those places in the Pacific. And I'll put a link of this down in the show notes, but I'm going to try to describe it as best I can. What is being sold here is basically an ergonomic keyboard that's mechanical as a kit. So you have a frame that holds all your switches. You have a PCB that attaches to all those switches and then all the electronics to build the keyboard. That's basically the keyboard. Most of the cost is in the frame, and these are multi-material frames. So we have an anodized aluminum top. I think they can get them in plastic, but this is anodized aluminum. Down below, you have brass, which is inlaid with aluminum. So you have these multi-materials in here, which is, all of it is really just machining and material, which is where all the cost is. But in terms of the looks, this is amazing. And with for some extra cost, you can also have it personalized, so you can have some extra graphics engraved in the bottom or a logo. Like, we could have the Hardware Asylum guy in there if we wanted to spend a few extra bucks. But we have different options. Some of them are anodized silver. We have a gold, which is kind of brass, and then a standard white and a black. And it's just kind of amazing in its strangeness.
I do like the concept of building your own unit, I suppose, for lack of a better term, because this lets you go out, source your own keycaps and the whole shebang, so you could truly make it your own.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and if you wanted to have black keys for your WASD and red for everything else, you obviously could do that. Or if you wanted to have lighted keys, you could do that as well, although I'm not sure how that works with the keyboard controller that it comes with. But then again, if you're spending this kind of money, it comes with the kit to put the keys in there. But, for a few extra bucks, you can go and swap all that stuff out and do whatever you want.
And upgrade or change your switches if you feel the desire somewhere down the line. So that feels to me a little over-engineered, but not in a bad way. Like, this could be the last keyboard you got. Truly, it is upgradable, customizable, and I'm seeing they got all kinds of extras available on here. Mm-hmm. Wow, keycaps, extra plates. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, this really is one of those keyboard enthusiasts. Which kind of brings me to the last part of this particular extra, which I kind of wanted to talk about building your own keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously, this Aster Ergo TKL is kind of the brainchild of likely this builder, building his own keyboards and say, hey, I can actually offer this service to other people.
Right.
But we can get on MassDrop or whatever and buy keyboard kits to the end of the day.
I see these pretty regularly. And we talked about some of these, like the Ducky, for example, and that kind of thing that come around fairly regularly that are considered some of the ultimate custom keyboards out there because you choose every piece yourself. Mm-hmm. But they do come at a cost.
And that cost is somewhat as sourcing the products or sourcing the parts. And then you need to have a little bit of skill because you're going to be soldering keys to a PCB and then being able to troubleshoot on whether or not, you know, the Q key works or the L key works. So there's a bit of a learning curve there and you need to have a bit of skill. So it might not be for everyone, but do you think you would do one?
Well, I feel like if the price were right, I'm intrigued by the kind of the nerdiness of saying that I built this keyboard and I chose what type of switches were on it. Mm-hmm. Especially I'm amused by the fact that I could make, say, my WASD keys a different switch from the rest of my keys.
You can make the true gamer keyboard based off of the game that you play, like Battlefield, for instance. You could have the knife key, which is on your mouse, right? Mm-hmm. But you could have it as a separate key on your keyboard.
Well, absolutely. And of course, you mentioned Drop, but Drop has also a keycap club where you can get all kinds of crazy keycaps, maybe worth checking out if you feel like your keyboard needs to be unique, especially if you're a touch typist.
Right.
But you can, you know, really sky's the limit. And I have done a little bit with this. I mean, my daughter has a keyboard with a custom keycap set that makes it a black and pink that she adores that we did one year for her. And just replacing the keycaps is really kind of the tip of the iceberg, it sounds like.
Most of the mechanical switches these days use the cherry style key cap. So it makes it really easy to mass produce caps and then just change the color or change the lighting profile of them. So that portion of it really seems easy, but I would be more interested in the layout of the keyboard. Most of the mechanical ones that you can buy as a kit are just the straight keyboard design. You don't really have a lot of ergo options. And that is where I think that it's an untapped market, doing a proper ergo with mechanical keys. You know, we've talked about several of them on the show already, which they're great because they seem to solve one problem, but they don't actually solve the problem, in my opinion.
And I have to agree, even without being a touch typist, I think it's very clear that every one of these is going to have a different style that's going to require its own unique learning curve just to use. Mm-hmm. And of course, once you get used to it, you wouldn't be able to go back and forth between the different styles.
Ultimately, that brings us back to what started this podcast extra, which was really my quest for finding the perfect ergonomic keyboard that used mechanical switches. Unfortunately, what's out there currently is not, it's really not up to snuff. I don't really see anything on the horizon unless they can start making curved PCBs. So I'm probably going to go back to my 20-year-old design that unfortunately uses membrane switches, but it just works. For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareofsound.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS and follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2022. Thanks for listening.